Hey everyone, welcome to the Slice of Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is the founder and CEO of Buy Properly. How are you today?
Hi, I am good. I am Khushboo Jha, the founder of Buy Properly.
Excited to have you here. Let's dive right in. Tell the audience about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we are a platform for fractional investing in alternatives, and alternatives would mean investments in real estate, investments in private equity, private credit, like mortgages and so on. And my background is that of finance and tech. I've done finance and tech my entire life. I started as an engineer, then worked in consulting, doing a whole bunch of strategy and structuring and private equity models. Then I went to the U.S., did an MBA. I majored in finance, worked on the Wall Street for a bit, and then actually joined Amazon. Spent the next 5-6 years at Amazon. So whatever I'd learned at Wharton in my finance and entrepreneurship sort of got applied in Amazon, because I was launching two new business lines there over a course of course, 5-6 years, where I had to start from scratch, build the business, build the team, and grow it in revenues. And so that's kind of my training ground of using business, finance, and tech can solve customer problems at the end of the day. And the way I got started in Buy Properly was I was working at Amazon. I was a standard tech employee whose compensation was largely stocks. And Amazon is great stocks to have, so no complaints. But I didn't want my entire wealth and compensation and entire net worth to be sitting just in stocks. And so if you are a regular salaried person, you would want to diversify. And the obvious place to go is real estate. But real estate is hard. It is expensive. It's not easy to find good deals. And sometimes you're just lost. And the whole process of finding a good deal, coming up with all of the money required for a good deal, making it happen and taking it through the life cycle of an investment is pretty much a full-time job. And so those investment options are hard to find and even more difficult to execute because they're not often online. And so that's where we started. And I was like, okay, there has to be an easier way of doing it. Like, I think it's a customer expectation that anything that you do today needs to be a click of a button like Amazon and needs to be custom to your needs, not like Netflix. And that was missing in the real estate investing world. And so we said, okay, if nobody's doing it, let's get started.
And give me an example of, you know, I know you're leveraging AI to also make the process easier. Give me an example of, let's say for AI, like what, it just has to be one example, but what particular area would AI help like quickly analyze a real estate transaction?
Yeah, I mean, we use multiple AI models like through the entire life cycle of investment. So let's start with the starting point. If you were investing in any real estate, whether it's single family residential or commercial, you look at a certain set of data, a certain set of comparables, and you track that. Now imagine if you could do that first level of analysis and shortlist with an AI model, and which is one of the things we do. So when we are looking at deals, we are looking at the overall macroeconomics. So everything from GDP per capita to income ratios, vacancies, supply, building permits, interest rates, all of the movements that are happening at a macroeconomic level, we can track and pull into our AI model. The second big piece is all of the transactions, and it doesn't have to be transactions that happen in the last month. We actually look at data over the last 30 years. So you're not talking about a bull run or a dip or any of those. You've looked at the entire gamut of a real estate life cycle over a 30 year, and real estate cycles are typically 18 years long, which is why people forget it's cyclical. And then pull all of that into the AI, boil the ocean literally, because we are looking at like some 10, 20 million data points, and then saying, okay, my requirement is to have an investment that will give me a certain return, a certain cash in a certain time period, which we can define as parameters. And then the AI model will give us a short list, say, okay, if your horizon is 5 years and you're looking for something that's relatively risk-adjusted return, not on the high side, here are the deals that you may want to do further due diligence. And that's just the starting of the various ways you can use AI.
When building this company, what were some of the early challenges that you ran into?
We are a financial services company. We are dealing with people's hard-earned post-tax money. And that's a huge responsibility. I think while everybody is appreciative of the fact that we make the process easy and simple, establishing credibility when you're handling people's money is important. And good intentions are not good enough. Like, the process needs to be robust, that governance and decision-making is correct. We have, the world is full of examples where governance failed. And so that was the first step. And we took that very seriously to make sure we ensure customer trust is maintained. And so when you are a startup, in any other, if you were just an app that costs $5, it's okay. But if you're a startup that's allowing people to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars, then you're talking about a different level of trust that you are trying to build. And so the way we overcome was, of course, our tech is robust and it has a whole bunch of security layers and SOC 2 compliant and all of that. So that's one layer, say, hey, the tech is safe. Then the second layer is all of the legal. So we made sure that we are compliant from day one and the whole time. The legal is done well. So we partnered with some of the best known legal firms, both on the US and the Canada side. So we worked with the biggest names in the industry to make sure that we are doing things the right, the proper way, and have thought through all scenarios. So that was the second piece we did to add credibility. So good lawyers, good tech, then we brought in good accountants to say, hey, tax efficiency, accounting, all of that has been done by another big name. So we work with PwC and Fasken and Wilson Sonsini, which are like really big names in the industry. And they've been very helpful to us. And all of the brain power has gone into ensuring that we build the customer trust. And of course, we had investors and all of that. But the core was the infrastructure has enough inbuilt mechanisms that will ensure that the process is safe, secure, and compliant. And of course, we were using AI from day one to say, hey, when we look at deals, we are being thorough. We're not just taking any deal. We are being very specific on what we bring on the platform, curated to make sure I'll only bring a deal if I can put my own money or all my money, to be honest. That was the litmus test. And so that's how we started, and that's how we built trust. Now, after doing a whole bunch of deals, obviously, we have established that we are thorough in the process end to end. But that was one of the bottlenecks we faced early on that we had to work hard to overcome.
Is there a limit for how little and how much someone can put into the platform?
Well, how much is, of course, determined by the size of the project. So, I mean, I can't take more money than I need, right? And so that's the upper limit. Like, every project has a math on how much you would want to concentrate with an investor, how much debt, how much equity. And so that would pretty much determine what's available on the max side. On the minimum side, our minimums are usually very low. So it's $500 for a first-time investor in Canada and $100 in the U.S., and the ongoing minimum investment size is $2,500. So that's the minimum for deal.
So let's say someone's interested. Talk me through the process of how they get involved.
Yeah, so say you got to know about our website from a podcast like this. You're like, huh, that's interesting. They seem to be doing some good stuff and they're doing it in a thorough manner. Maybe I can try it out. They come to our website, they will see there are a whole bunch of deals that are live that they could potentially invest in. And from there on, the process is almost as simple as buying on Amazon. So you go, you browse through the deals, you log in, create your account, get information about the deals, a lot of analyses, sensitivity, probabilities, all of it in a thorough manner is presented to you. Look at all the information, the legal. And once you are ready to invest, you just click on invest. At that time, all the checks and balances kick in. So we will ask for a bunch of information run KYC, AML on all the tests to make sure the investors are all passing those tests. And once they have cleared the KYC, AML, ID check, and all of that is automated, and the whole process is actually less than 5 minutes. But we still have to do it real time. And so you put in the information, assuming your KYC and photo ID are all correct, you move on, you're presented with the legal documents, you read, you sign, and you get the share certificates in your inbox. And the end-to-end is 5 minutes. Done.
People love the five-minute part, for sure. It's when it's quick and easy to sign up, right? That's a huge win. How did you come up with the name and the branding? Really, really cool brand, by the way. Like, that's when I was going through on like LinkedIn, your brand was what kind of like initially stood out to me. Those colors are cool. And I really like the name. This is something I like to talk a little bit about, because I feel like we don't talk enough about branding and where that came from, but would love to hear that from you as well.
Yeah, I think it was stemming from where we started, to say, hey, before you make an investment, you have to do a lot of thinking. It isn't something that you do impulsively. Real estate investments and alternative investments are large size investments. Like, you can't just put $10,000 without checking. And so it came from that essence of buy property. Like, you have to buy anything, any investment, it needs to be done in a thorough manner. And so we were putting in all the documents and information. And we had done, of course, a lot of user study and focus groups to understand what customers would think with a whole bunch of names. The same with colors. On our customer segment is often on the younger side. And so the colors were, a reflection of, like, blue was signifying trust and yellow was for the fact that there's energy and high enthusiasm, and it was kind of a reflection of those ideas.
What's next for the company? And, well, actually, before I ask you what's next for the company, are there any particular areas? I know you're in both Canada and the U.S. But let's say for the U.S., are there any particular areas you're like, we have no interest in, it's too expensive there, like, it's not the properties we want? Or are you fairly open to, if you find the right deal, all areas are up for debate?
Well, I'll divide that into a few angles. So there's the geography angle on where we want to be geographically. And there's the asset class angle, which asset type we would want to be in. The first one, in terms of geography, there's no emotion, there's objectivity, there is data, and data will drive decisions. And because we rely so much on AI, we are able to update our data and run our data more frequently on a very large scale. So we are able to capture minute changes very quickly. So it's easy and inexpensive for us to run data. And so we can stay objective and say, hey, if it's a good deal, it's a good deal. But then our analysis has several layers within it. So we are constantly watching the different sectors to say, hey, how's storage trending, and how's single family trending, and how's multifamily trending? And we are also watching all of the geographies to say, hey, it's exciting now, but you're not making money right now. It's not a day trade. You're going to be there for the next 5 years or 10 years. And so what does it look like in 5 to 10 years from now? And that's an important aspect. So again, very data-driven on most cases. At any given point in time, obviously, we have preferences of, we will do this and we will not do this, where it's trending. For example, retail is still not very exciting, even though it's picking up a little bit. Single family is still not that exciting, just because rates are still expensive. But that's an at-the-moment emotion, and based on the data we are seeing in the market.
I'm so excited for you, by the way. And part of the reason I always tell people I do a video instead of just a straight audio podcast is because whoever's watching, they get to see your eyes light up when you talk about what you're building and what you've done. So congratulations on everything so far. I know the journey's not over yet. And you know, as founders, right, we always are like, there's always more that can be done. It's a never ending job. I'm very excited for you. So what, going back to the question I asked before that, what's next for you? What excites you about BuyProperly moving forward?
Yeah, so I think we have spent the last few years establishing processes, building efficiencies, making sure we are well-versed and well-integrated into the overall ecosystem, which isn't all online, by the way. And so we have to build those ramps to make sure that it works for everybody in the ecosystem, the people who are bringing in the deals, as well as the investors. So investors are used to the Robinhoods and the Wealthsimples of the world. The people who are bringing in the deals aren't necessarily used to dealing with the people who are doing it through an app. And so it's kind of bringing that together. Next phase for us is a lot of growth, and we are seeing that already. Like, this year has been a crazy year for us in terms of growth and what's happening, and we are seeing lots and lots of good, interesting asset managers and deals that we would love to have on our platform and take to our investors come to us. So I think you will start seeing some of these changes in the coming weeks. We actually have a rebrand of the website, a much cooler website. It would be easier to navigate, even faster processes, and a whole host of new deals. So we've done single family, we added commercial, now we are adding a lot of funds, we are adding affordability and sustainability, some of the things that our investors care about, into the mix. So we are expanding the scale at which we are functioning. That's our next big one. We will continue to build tech, and we will continue to build more AI models. We have lots of cool AI models that are going to hit the public eye soon, almost like a Amazon recommendation or a Netflix recommendation engine that's going live shortly. So we have lots of cool stuff coming on the tech side, but at the end of the day, we are here to make sure that our investors are able to grow their wealth, and they get access to as much as we can potentially get them.
I'm so excited for you. Let's definitely stay in touch. I want to continue to hear the story, especially as things continue to evolve. But really appreciate you for joining me on a guest on the Slice Real Estate podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.